This is a production of the U.S. Department of Energy Joint Genome Institute, the JGI. Today, we're headed back to school, specifically to a class called Bio 21, an undergrad biology lab.
Good morning, everybody.
We've started at 7:50 a.m.
Let's give everyone just a couple more minutes before we go in and get started, okay? But there is a question.
And Jill Bouchard teaches this course.
We are at Los Medanos College in Brentwood at the new campus.
That's Brentwood, California, in the Bay Area, about an hour away from Berkeley. And don't worry, we're not in for a four-hour lecture. Jill is teaching a lab class.
I want to get you up and working on the ecology research projects.
Around the room, students sit at high black tables with their lab groups. Here's a quick roll call of who I heard from before we get to what they're up to.
My name is Joseph Esquivel. How are you?
Kylie Johnson.
Sergio Gonzalez.
Gabby Cano.
Lawrence Cabanseg.
Marlena Madrigal.
Lauren Painter.
Lorenzo Navalis is my name.
Back to our lab activity. Students are a few weeks into an experiment where they're all growing their own batch of small plants.
So I think you all know the drill at this point. So you can go back and carefully collect your ecofabs.
What is an ecofab, you might wonder? It's a small plastic growth chamber where plants grow without soil. A little like an ant farm for plants. Berkeley Lab researchers developed this technology, and we'll spend lots more time describing them later. For now, the task at hand is keeping seedlings stocked with water and food. Students are giving their plants both of those with a liquid called growth medium.
So we're just adding more media so that those plants can keep on getting those nutrients so they can continue to grow. So we're just observing everything, see if there's any changes from last week.
Each group is running its own experiments with the same species. It's a plant that researchers study at the JGI and around the world. A tiny grass with a big, long name.
Yeah, I think everyone you'll see here is all growing Brachypodium, but they're all doing like sort of different variations on how it grows.
Because each group is testing their own research question.
We are trying to figure out the soil diversity and how it affects the growth of Brachypodium.
So far we look like the peat soil has the best growth.
We're trying to see if maybe the different levels of nitrogen will affect the growth.
So we're trying to see if microbes introducing them will cause the plant to thrive even without phosphorus.
And by testing a research question in these little growth chambers, these students have something in common with researchers around the world, at national labs and universities all over. They're all running their experiments inside the exact same device, the ecofab. Because ecofabs were not made strictly for classrooms. Originally, they're for lab-scale experiments, but their strengths transfer nicely to a course. So Jill Bouchard's Bio 21 students are piloting lab activities with ecofabs, with help from Trent Northen's lab and the JGI. This episode, we'll spend some time with those students to hear how these little plastic boxes are making research possible across the science ecosystem. This is Genome Insider from the U.S. Department of Energy Joint Genome Institute, where researchers discover the expertise encoded in our environment, in the genomes of plants, fungi, bacteria, archaea, and environmental viruses, to power a more sustainable future. I'm Manika Wilhelm. Before we get back to ecofabs and Bio 21, I want to talk about why you'd want a petri dish for plants. It comes down to our quest to manage climate change. And that means looking at a big, giant process, the global carbon cycle. And part of that cycle, humans and other life forms, but mostly humans, we take organic molecules and turn them into gases like carbon dioxide and methane. In the atmosphere, those gases warm our planet. But plants reverse that process. They take carbon from the air, then tuck it away for storage. That happens in their structure, but more importantly, it happens in the soil. Underground, compounds that were once atmospheric gases become a wide array of different molecules. And microbes play a giant role there. They're the ones who transform plant organics into molecules that can stay in soil. And so this is a whole ecosystem process that we want to understand much better. Basically, when do organic molecules stay in the soil or leave as atmospheric gases, and why? But if you think about field experiments where you study plants and the microbes hanging out around the roots outside, it's hard to get accurate measurements of microbes and organic molecules. Plus, your control over conditions isn't super precise, and that makes it very, very hard to repeat an experiment. So researchers in Trent Northen's group at Berkeley Lab set out to study this more closely. They wanted to run isolated, observable, reproducible experiments on model plants and their microbes. Because if they can figure out how plants and microbes affect the organic molecules in their environment, it could lead to ways of slowing down climate change. That's where they came up with the EcoFab. It's a way of studying specific plant and microbe species, similar to the way that microbiologists use plastic petri dishes to study colonies of bacteria. Then they improved that device to create the EcoFab 2.0. A researcher named Peter Andier led that design. And EcoFab 2.0 is what landed at Los Medanos lab courses. With that, we're ready to roll back to Bio21. The students who have worked with them can describe these EcoFabs.
Kind of picture like a plastic box with a little strip where you could put a little seed inside there and it grows. It's really cool. You're able to see like the roots and stuff like that.
It's a clear square box and the media goes in the middle in a circle. The sprouts grow.
Picture something like square and like a Lego pretty much. That's how I see it.
If you're dying for an image, check out our transcript on our website. We'll post one there. These EcoFabs are roughly the size of a small takeout box. Think of the kind of box you'd use to take home a slice of pie. And the ceiling of this little box stands a few inches high for a plant's shoots to grow upward. And in this case, students are using these devices without soil. In each EcoFab, between two layers of plastic, there's a flat circular chamber. The chamber is clear, so it's possible to watch a plant's roots grow, like the plant is living in its own little ant farm. And that's a big advantage to doing experiments in these EcoFabs. It's possible to pop a plant in, control its microbiome minutely, and then measure chemical outputs and image the plant's roots. These are sterile, they're self-contained, and they're standardized. They're designed so that if a researcher in Indiana runs an experiment, someone in India can repeat the exact same thing in their own EcoFab. All of those things also make it great for using with students, which is part of the reason these little boxes wound up at Los Medanos. Here's Jill Bouchard, our instructor from before. She teaches biology and co-chairs the Department of Biology at Los Medanos College.
We have embedded research in all of our Bio21 sections. And so some students get out in the field and do field-type studies. Other students want to look at the effects of different chemicals on plants in the lab. So that's one reason why I really like EcoFabs.
With EcoFabs, students can start with the seed, then study it as it grows. They can change the nutrient mixture in the liquids they feed the plants, their media, and expose the plants to different microbes. Then they can take photos and measure root lengths. Jill sees a lot of benefit to all of that for her classes.
Studies show that it's really beneficial to have research embedded into courses. They feel this ownership over, like, this is their project, right? Also, I think to help build their identity in STEM, right? They're very interested in STEM. And so I think having that opportunity to do the project-based learning is important.
For many of Jill's Bio21 students, her course is their first research experiment, so they're often a bit surprised by the process. Here's Heath Galiwango. He was TAing for the course I visited, but he took Bio21 the first year they piloted these experiments in EcoFabs, and he said he was pretty surprised when Jill brought them into class.
I was like, how are we going to grow anything in there? I was very confused, because I'm so used to plants being in the ground and not in a container. So it was something that I wasn't expecting to work with, especially because we were the pilot program and I didn't know what EcoFabs were.
In this year's Bio21 course, a lot of students mentioned starting out with similar ideas.
Whenever I thought of being able to study plants, I always thought of, oh, they have to have soil, they have to be in the ground.
That was my first thing too. I was like, I thought plants needed soil to grow.
From the first look of it, I was like, how are we even supposed to put our seed in there, you know?
But with the EcoFabs, it really changes that.
The way that they're designed is so that you don't need the soil. You can just put the water in, essentially, and they'll grow without it.
It's honestly super cool how we are able to see the root growth, the shoot growth, you know, bring our research to life with these.
So working with EcoFabs turns out to be very interesting for students, which makes sense because, remember, they're designed for adaptable, consistent experiments. But still, like every project, it takes time and effort to develop protocols. I also talked to someone from the Northern Lab who's done lots of that work, both for this lab course and other programs.
My name is Ying Wang.
Ying started as a postdoc in the Northern Lab in 2019. She studies soil microbiomes to understand what makes these ecosystems store carbon or release it into the atmosphere. She knows firsthand that ecofabs can spark lots of interest.
Actually, ecofab was the thing that attracted me to our lab.
While she was working on her PhD at UC Santa Barbara, Ying saw a paper from Trent Northen's lab about how plants and microbes interact in the soil, around a plant's roots. She saw another paper about ecofabs.
And I reached out to Trent and then wanted to use ecofabs to study plant-microbe interactions.
So she wrote a proposal and joined the Northen lab. Once she was there, she started focusing more on the microbe part of the plant-microbe interaction. Ironically, she didn't work with ecofabs all that much. But then she heard about a program that Berkeley Lab runs for local high school students. It's called the Berkeley Lab Director's Apprenticeship Program. Bay Area high school students apply to the program, then take on hands-on projects. So Ying took the chance to develop an experiment for those students with Ecofab 2.0. That followed the pilot that another former Northen Lab postdoc, Lauren J. Bush, had started. And Ying's pilot went well. So a bit later, when the idea to create a course activity for Bio21 came up, Ying was in a great spot to help out. She shared instruction materials, protocols, and teaching videos with Jill.
We started the conversation back in 2021.
And it took some time, especially because we were still fully online.
So there, Jill means because of the pandemic, students weren't coming into classrooms. They were working on setting up these experiments, but it wasn't clear yet when students would be back in person.
And we met several times over the year, like help her to brainstorm and design her course. And she actually came to JGI last year and met with several people from our lab and learned how to work with ecofabs.
And then we finally, after I think a year and a half, a couple years, we piloted last semester. So we had the ecofabs and we did it.
Success. And here we should mention, this was a team effort. Several other members of the Northen Lab helped get this program off the ground. In particular, Vlastimil Novak shipped the devices over and gave lots of protocol advice. And that collective effort paid off. Both Jill and Ying mentioned how neat it was to see students bring their own interests into these projects.
I remember when Jill took this protocol and then presented to her students, some of her students also were interested in climate change. So they set up like a separate group to look at the effects of increased temperature.
Anytime I think we can link their projects to climate change, they're really interested in that.
And I think that's just a really nice way to encourage the students to explore, you know, different ideas and learn how to design experiments to test questions and hypotheses.
The students in these activities are cutting scientific teeth.
I have been surprised and also impressed by the creativity of the students, and that's demonstrates to me, if you expose those students to those research projects, even though they may seem small, but actually can play an important role in encouraging them and stimulating them to, you know, potentially pursue biology or STEM careers in the future.
Jill mentioned that what students take away from these experiments runs the gamut. In an undergrad bio class, of course, some groups need more support getting their experiments and hypotheses together.
Then there's always groups that they want to think outside the box. Like, can we do this? Can we do something different? And so I really like that. I want to support the students that need that guidance, but also give the students that want to be free and explore that opportunity too. So I like that. And we're doing it again this semester.
So we'll head back to Bio21 to hear how this semester's projects are shaping up. First, a quick break.
In this episode, researchers from the JGI are helping out with ideas and supplies for the Bio21 lab at Los Medanos College. But you don't have to take it from us. Here's Gabby Cannell.
It feels very sciencey, so I feel very, very scientific. It's something very new, so we definitely appreciate the partnership that you guys are doing with us. Yeah, something that I don't think we would have been able to do without the project.
And Jill Bouchard.
I've been really pleased with the support and the communication from JGI. Especially, I know how busy postdocs and PIs are. I was a postdoc, my husband's a PI, and I just really appreciate the dedication that it feels from them that they have to do outreach. I love connecting with, you know, labs that are at cutting edge. They're doing cutting edge research, and they're supporting us to bring that to our students. And so
I've really appreciated the support from JGI.
And all year long, we support research scientists around the world to answer questions related to bioenergy or environmental issues. If that's you and you have a research question you'd like support on, check out our proposal calls, jointgeno.me/proposals.
This is Genome Insider from the JGI. Where we left off, I'd introduce Ying Wang. She's helped set up educational EcoFab programs. And one of those programs is Jill Bouchard's Bio 21 Lab, where students spend weeks growing a model grass, Brachypodium. Like all lab projects with living things, these experiments can take a bit of troubleshooting. And Jill works with students on that. Here she is talking to one of the lab groups.
All right, is that that's the media you want in here? Okay.
The EcoFabs are well-designed, but there's no such thing as a perfect instrument. They can leak, media can dry out, or on the flip side, unplanned mold can make its home in an experiment. But running into problems is another real part of science.
Remember, I used to hate hearing this in labs, like why things didn't work, you know, and stuff. And then, you know, working as a scientist for a long time, I mean, sometimes I spent a year troubleshooting an experiment. And then, oh, finally, you know, after 3 months, I figured that out. Now, how do I stain it?
Jill stands by how important this is for students to see.
This part is, I think, the part of science that you don't get in labs where it's outlined for you.
Yeah,
here's
for
the media, here's everything you do, you put it together, and this is the result. And I think those types of labs are really important for learning concepts.
Yeah.
But this is this troubleshooting part of science and trying to figure things out. Like, what I'm really curious. This happens every time. What is it? Right? This is, to me, very realistic of what it's like in a lab.
And that's a pretty unique experience to get from an intro bio course.
So what I hope they're walking away with is a realistic idea of how science is done.
It's something Jill wants to offer, especially to students at a community college like Los Medanos.
Many are going to transfer to four-year colleges, and they may want to work in labs. And so I think I hope that they feel they're a little more prepared.
Not every student who does these labs likes working on experiments, but they still walk away with a better understanding of the process of science.
And then I've had other students over the years, like, I didn't know I liked research, but then I really liked this. I was up for 3 hours kind of investigating that.
And that was something I heard in class too.
I haven't really been into this kind of stuff until I got into this class, and being able to see it from start to where it is now is actually pretty cool.
I'm a bio major, so I thought I'd like to work in a lab one day.
First of all, I never thought that I would ever want to be the research experiment type. I didn't think that I'd have the patience for it, and in fact, I do, which was really nice too. 10 out of 10 experience, I would say. Yeah.
So it won't be surprising at all that Ying has heard very, very similar feedback from the other programs of students that she's worked with. Here she is.
Last year, when I was teaching the high school students, and one of the students actually asked me, what does EcoFab mean? And I said, it's the full name is Fabricated Ecosystems. And they actually told me that they saw it was eco-fabulous because the research project was just fabulous.
Yeah.
So that really made my day, made my year, actually. Yeah.
That's great. I did have another student say eco-fabulous to me at Los Medanos, so that makes sense.
It's fabulous.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Look at us, coming all the way full circle.
I think it's so neat that the EcoFab is a technology that works for scientists who are trying to collaborate across the world and study plant-microbe interactions, as well as in a high school or college classroom.
Yeah, definitely.
And there are all kinds of cool developments planned for the EcoFab technology. There's an EcoFab 3.0 that will fit a foot-tall plant, and an EcoBot that's meant to run experiments on its own remotely. When we chatted, Ying was excited about bringing EcoFabs to even more classrooms so more students can get hands-on research experience.
So what I'm currently doing is to convert the project we already have to a more standardized teaching module, for example, linking with the next generation science standards and exploring ways to how we can best disseminate this resource to broader communities, you know, especially to schools that may not have access to those research-related teaching resources.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And I think it's really cool that sort of how you got involved in the work you're doing is by finding out about EcoFabs, and now you're kind of sharing EcoFabs with a much wider community.
Yeah, yeah. I really like how you framed it, yes.
And that's our episode. I will spare you the sappy pun about planting seeds. So again, that was Jill Bouchard and her students from Los Medanos College. Many, many thanks to Heath Galiwango, Lorenzo Navales, Lawrence Cabansang, Gabriela Canel, Joseph Esquivel, Tina Basu, Sergio Gonzalez, Marlena Madrigal, Lauren Painter, and Kylie Johnson. Ying Wang will actually be moving on from the Northern Lab soon. In January 2024, she'll join the Department of Soil and Crop Sciences at Texas A&M University as an assistant professor. Big congratulations to Ying, and we'll plug, she's recruiting students and postdocs. You could reach out to her on LinkedIn, and we'll link there in the show notes. The Northern Lab has developed EcoFabs and uses them to support activities across the biosciences area at Berkeley Lab. That includes environmental genomics and systems biology, the Joint Bioenergy Institute, and the Joint Genome Institute. EcoFabs are available to JGI users as well. The entire Northern Lab has helped out in developing EcoFabs and supporting these programs. Peter Andier designed the EcoFab 2.0 device, and Vlastimil Novak played a key role in making that device available for this pilot program at Los Medanos. Outside the Northern Lab, David Gilbert and Chris Bouchard were instrumental in the initial conversations that brought this pilot to be. To find out more, check out our episode description. This class was a pilot program with plans, eventually, to expand beyond one class. This episode was written, produced, and hosted by me, Manika Wilhelm. I had production help from Graham Rutherford, who helped with recording on site, as well as Allison Joy, Massey Ballin, Ingrid Okert, and Aaliyah Kovner. We had music in the middle of this episode by Cliff Bueno de Mesquita, who's a multi-talented postdoc at the JGI. If you like this episode, help someone else find it. Tell them about it, email them a link, or leave us a review wherever you're listening to the show. And don't forget to subscribe. Genome Insider is a production of the Joint Genome Institute, a user facility of the U.S. Department of Energy Office of Science, located at Lawrence Berkeley National Lab in Berkeley, California. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time.